Welcome to worship. Though the word Trinity is not found in the scriptures, today's second reading includes the apostolic greeting that begins the liturgy, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all." In the Gospel, Jesus sends his disciples forth to baptize in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. More than a doctrine, the Trinity expresses the heart of our faith. We have experienced the God of creation, made known in Jesus Christ, and with us always through the Holy Spirit. We celebrate the mystery of the Holy Trinity in word and sacrament as we profess the creed and as we are sent in the world to bear witness to our faith. Welcome to worship on this Holy Trinity Sunday. Holy One, we believe that we were created in love.
Yet when we face ourselves in the mirror, too often we do not see love.
For our prejudice.
For our hatred.
For our pride.
For our apathy.
For our cruelty.
For our blindness.
Lord have mercy.
Christ have mercy.
Lord have mercy. Holy One, we believe we are created in your image.
But when we look in the mirror, we do not see anything good.
For our hollow sense of self.
For our inflated ego.
For our inner critic.
For our needless stoicism.
For our sense of worthlessness.
For our inability to see ourselves as beloved.
Lord have mercy.
Christ have mercy.
Lord have mercy. Holy One, we believe we are called to see the face of Christ in all.
But we refuse to see Christ in some.
For holding on to old resentments.
For calling another enemy.
For allowing the color of one's skin to influence us.
For negating the other names by which you are called.
For seeing borders as fences and not as invitations to exploration.
For not living the truth that the whole world is in your hands.
Lord have mercy.
Christ have mercy.
Lord have mercy. And hear our silent prayer. Amen. A love that never ceases.
A creativity that designed the universe.
A hope that cannot be quenched.
A pursuit of reconciliation, no matter the cost.
These are the things that are of God.
Then let us worship God.
ELW 413. Holy, holy, holy.
Thank you.
Let us pray. God of heaven and earth, before the foundation of the universe and the beginning of time, you are the triune God, author of creation, eternal word of salvation, life-giving spirit of wisdom. Guide us to all truth by your spirit, that we may proclaim all that Christ has revealed and rejoice in the glory he shares with us, now and forever. Amen.
The reading is from Genesis chapter 1 and 2 to verse 4. In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there were evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be a vault between the waters to separate water from water." So God made the vault and separated the water under the vault from the water above it. And it was so. God called the vault sky, and there was evening, and there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the sky be gathered to one place, and let dry ground appear." And it was so. God called the dry ground land, and the gathered waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds." And it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the vault of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark sacred times and days and years. And let them be lights in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth." And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set them in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, "Let the waters teem with living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth, across the vault of the sky." So God created the great creatures of the sea, and every living thing with which the water teems and that moves about in it, according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and increase in number, and fill the water in the seas, and let the birds increase on the earth." And there was evening, and there was morning on the fifth day. And God said, "Let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, the livestock, the creatures that move along the ground, and the wild animals, each according to its kind." And it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the landscape and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God he created them, male and female he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Then God said, "I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for your food. And to all the beasts of the earth, and all the birds in the sky, and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was good. and there was evening, and there was morning on the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were created in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work, and he had been doing, so on the seventh day he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. This is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created, when the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. The word of the Lord.
A setting of the Nicene Creed, written by Herbert Dreiso. Thank you.
The reading is taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11 to 13. Finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice. Strive for the full restoration. Encourage one another. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All God's people here send their greetings. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 28. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, to the end of the age." The Gospel of the Lord. The Holy Trinity is not so much a clear scriptural description of God's identity as it is an attempt for us to grasp the mysteries of God and how God is at work in the world. In the Gospel of John, Jesus calls God his parent, and he also talks about the coming of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Paraclete, the Helper, who will remain with us after he is gone. This is perhaps the clearest and most obvious reference to the Trinity, for we see all three persons of the Trinity mentioned in a short span of time in that gospel. But for us, our attempts to understand the Trinity always fall short. We have trouble describing God's nature, identity, character, power, gifts, and even how God is at work in the world. Our wrestling with this mystery is natural, for God is supernatural. God is beyond our understanding, bigger than we can imagine, a way maker when it seems to us there's no way, a comforter in times of sorrow, an encourager, an empowerer, a rescuer. So many things, our strength in weakness, balm for our wounds, hope for our future. This Holy Trinity Sunday, I asked members of the congregation to share how they see God at work. And I hope in their witness, you hear the working of Almighty God in three persons, in power, in majesty, in love, in compassion, as they share parts of their stories. Special thanks to these witnesses, Hannah, Diane, Betty Jane, and Maureen.
God is at work around me in the summer camps that search for ways to connect to their campers and staff in our current circumstances. God is also at work around me in the plants and animals that serve as a reminder that the rest of creation does not stop for COVID.
How is God at work around me? For me, God is always at work. It doesn't matter what the circumstances of the world are or what is going on in my personal life. God provides the peace that I need. And it doesn't matter whether we see it or not. My faith tells me to trust. I rely on God continually to keep me grounded and at ease with whatever is going on. My favorite scripture verse is from Philippians 4:6. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Sometimes, well, actually a lot of times, that's really hard to do. All we can do is trust and try.
This poem by a close friend, whose new book is about the 7-year journey he and his wife have been on since she suffered a traumatic injury. An offer. God has not seen me in his house since I was 15. I've not asked him for anything until now. There is only one question. Will you live? I am here to do my part of any deal he wants.
30 years ago, we built our home which backs on Fish Creek Park in Evergreen. Over the years, what was once a dirt-covered hillside behind our fence has become a grass-covered haven for all sorts of wildlife, with various wild grasses, bushes, and now young aspen creeping further away from the mother grove at the top of the hill. We're not too sure about the fate of the aspen, as the deer that come by seem to consider it a special treat and strip the fresh young leaves as soon as they appear. When we landscaped our yard, we planted a decorative crabapple tree, hoping to bring spring color to the landscape. At that time, Dan also planted daffodils on the berm outside our back fence, not knowing if they would survive. God's hand has truly been at work this spring. The daffodils have been blooming for at least a month, and last Sunday, Pentecost, the tree burst forth in perhaps the most glorious flowering we've ever seen. The petals even survived the overnight thunder and lightning storm and the gusting wind that, appropriately perhaps, came on Sunday afternoon. But the most miraculous thing about this display of God's beauty has been the opportunities for so many people, families with children, seniors, teenagers, to stop in awe, take pictures, come and look more closely, and engage in conversation with us. Many marvel as we explain the history of the daffodils, that they have brought pleasure to so many over their 30 years of existence. I'm sure many of these visitors to the park have never traveled these paths before, but since the restrictions necessary during the COVID-19 pandemic, what was once a seldom used trail through the grass has become a wonderland of nature for people of many different backgrounds. Children engage on imaginary adventures with sticks and long grasses. Parents call to their young ones who are distracted by some little critter in the grass. Cyclists pedal furiously, headed either east or west to places unknown, and seniors stroll comfortably, perhaps reminiscing about similar treks long ago. Sometimes during adversity, it's hard to see the work of God's hand, but we see it every waking minute, and it is good. Praise be to God for his many boundless mercies.
I saw God at work this week in conversations with a member of the Calgary community whose understanding of God and Scripture couldn't be more polar opposite than my own. Sometimes heated, always challenging, our conversation led me to believe that God works in our differences. God works through our understandings and through our conversation to change us, to mold us, to cause us to wonder. I don't know how fruitful our conversation will turn out to be, but when I think of God's presence in the world, I'm grateful. I'm grateful for the presence of hope and grateful for the gift of life. When I think of God's presence in my life, I'm humbled. Humbled by the gift of grace, humbled by the challenge of living, and humbled by the invitation to begin again. When I think of God's presence in this community, I'm so glad. Glad to be surrounded by holy people worshiping our holy God. Thank you all. Thank you, God. Amen.
ELW 413. Come, join the dance of Trinity.
Thank you.
into unity with one another and the whole creation, let us pray for our shared world. God of community, you form us as your church. Guide our bishops, pastors, deacons, and all the baptized in sharing your life-giving good news with all the world. Strengthen us to be bold in our proclamation. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. God of creation, you called everything into being. Sustain this world with your renewing care. Inspire us to see waterways, plant life, birds, fish, insects, and mammals, and call them good. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. God of counsel, all authority belongs to you. Encourage the leaders of this and every land to seek peace, equality, and unity. Instill wisdom in advocates who work towards justice in often ignored communities and those who are out of the eye of the media. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. God of justice, as we recount the events of the last week, we lift to you the life and the death of George Floyd. And we lift with him all people around the world who cry out, I cannot breathe, because of unjust legislation and practice, because of superiority, arrogance, and abuse of power. We pray that you be at work in protests and responses to protests, that these be not just demonstrations, but the beginning of a call for humankind to work together for equality and for your justice, for the sake of your world. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. God of care, you created us in your image. Help us see your likeness in one another. Open our eyes to see and attend to all who face oppression and suffering. Console, heal, and nourish all in need, especially those suffering from the effects of the coronavirus. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. God of companionship, you accompany this body of faith. As the rhythms of summer begin and the rhythms of COVID-19 isolation continue, protect all who travel, all who seek to find your presence in the outdoors. Renew all who will enjoy a time of Sabbath, and shelter all who will not be protected from the sun's heat. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. For what else do the people of God pray? Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. God of compassion, you comfort us in our grief with the promise of the resurrection. We give you thanks for the saints of all times and in all places, especially for the ones we've known in our own lives. Console all who mourn. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Receive these prayers, O God, and those too deep for words, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
ELW 410, All Glory Be to God on High. This is one of the great hymns of the Lutheran tradition.
Oh,
You into the source of love.
The joy of the Lord Jesus strengthen you in service to others.
The power of the Holy Spirit fill and sustain your hearts.
The blessing of God Almighty be among you and remain with you always.
Amen. Peace be with you, and here are a couple of short time-sensitive announcements. The Zoom prayer room is closed today, so we will not be having communion, fellowship, or sermon talk back. And that's because Pastor Phil and I are taking a few days away from the city, and we are actually in social media isolation, so we are not on the internet at all. And ask you to pray for us and bless that time away, because we really need to take a vacation from electronics. We have announced that we are suspending in-person worship through July 19th, and that does not mean that we will be resuming worship on the 26th of July. That just means we're giving ourselves those weeks to say that we're for sure not opening before that. We're going to take this time to watch the reopening throughout the province and listen to our colleagues who are reopening in places that are not the epicenter of the COVID outbreak in Alberta, to monitor their experience, especially with all the restrictions around in-person worship. And then as July 19th approaches, we'll make a determination about what our next steps are, and we will certainly let you know as soon as we know what our plans are. But in any case, the online worship is going to continue probably throughout the fall, and that's because we intend to provide worship for everyone, whether or not we're worshiping in person, realizing that some people are going to feel their health threatened throughout the rest of this year. And so we're going to continue to support worship in all the ways that are appropriate for our community. If you're interested in talking about plans to reopen or about in-person worship or any of these sorts of things, we welcome the conversation. And we'll be back in town on Tuesday, so you can call us anytime or send us an email, and we're happy to elaborate on how and why we've arrived at the decisions that we have. We ask for your prayers and your patience, as it cannot be overstated that none of us have been in this situation before. And so our primary concern is for the health of the community. And then secondarily, to support worship and pastoral care and all the things that the congregation needs. So just know that we're praying for you, and we're hard at work evaluating, trying, and experimenting. And we'll let you know what our decisions are. We're working very closely with council as a staff. So we'll let you know as July 19th where we're going to go from here. Peace be with you.